Welcome back to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. Still in studio with me is Nate, and on the line with me is Persephone in Belgium. So we're still continuing our discussion of kind of big ideas of how to potentially reform different parts of the U.S. governance system, maybe make it better, maybe fix some things. Again, a lot of that depends on what people think is the problem and what people think are the solutions to those problems. But some of it is just process stuff. So one of those things has to do with how the U.S. Constitution would be amended. We have one of the least amended constitutions in the world. One of the other constitutions that hasn't been amended much is Australia's. There's certainly a compelling case to be made that maybe we need to update certain parts of the Constitution further. It's a 1787 document with a few amendments here and there, fewer than 30 over the intervening time period. And everyone kind of knows the usual drill with these amendments is that you say, okay, we're going to have the Congress, the House of Representatives passes a proposed amendment, and the Senate passes a proposed amendment, and then they send it to the state legislatures, and the state legislatures vote on that. And then you get 3/4 of the states, which used to be for 13, but now is for 50. 3/4 of the states have to approve this, and they can't make any changes to it. It specifically says in the Constitution that they get a yes or no up-down vote on the proposed text to come from Congress. However, Lawrence Lessig recently pointed out in an essay in The Atlantic that there is actually another route to getting an amendment that hasn't been tried. And this one's a little bit misunderstood too, which is this thing about instead of having it done by Congress proposing the text and then having an up or down vote by the state legislatures, you have a national convention. And the reason that there's so much confusion is that people get this mixed up with the Constitutional Convention in 1787, which was where people were supposed to be making revisions to the Articles of Confederation that preceded the Constitution. That was the document that governed the country during the Revolution and then after for a few years. And instead of doing what they were supposed to do to amend it, they just unilaterally decided that they were going to come up with an entirely new document outside of the process of the Articles of Confederation. So people have been a little bit leery about this convention option in the Constitution because they're afraid that that means there's going to be a whole new constitution proposed or something like that. And he points out that that's actually not the case. If you look at Article 5, it says the stuff about Congress can propose the amendments, and then it says, or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states, Congress shall call a convention for proposing the amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states or by conventions in the 3/4 thereof. Basically, this is no different than having Congress propose the amendments, except that it's another body that has to be convened by Congress at the request of the state legislatures. So they wouldn't be drafting a whole new constitution or anything like that. I mean, I suppose they theoretically could, but they'd have to be sending...
3.0.
Yeah, they'd have to send the entire document for an up-down vote to all of the state legislatures, and the odds of getting that passed are basically equivalent to zero. So for all intents and purposes, that's not what it would be. More likely, as it says, you have to get the legislatures have to vote through 2/3 of the states to say, hey, Congress, please put together a convention. And then the convention just comes up with stuff instead of Congress. And Lessig's argument is that this has the advantage of taking those issues like campaign finance, for example, is the one that he especially focuses on because that's his big thing, one of his big things. Say, instead of campaign finance being amended by Congress or proposed by Congress, which is directly affected by that, let's take it and put it in the hands of another body that's not elected and therefore beholden to these campaign donors. I mean, it remains an open question that he doesn't really get into of how this convention would be selected, but have the convention propose an amendment, and then it has to go back to the states as usual for an up or down vote. Persephone, what were your thoughts on this proposal of something that's there in the Constitution but hasn't been used, of maybe trying that out?
Well, I think that it would be really a good idea to try it out. It's a really interesting idea. And I was thinking that in terms of sort of trends that we see among states, for instance, a ton of states this year and last year have been talking about the minimum wage. And in fact, in 2014, 34 states actually considered increases, which is enough of a start that this kind of thing could potentially be launched. So we're talking about there's the potential for an amendment to the Constitution that would constitutionalize a set minimum wage, which obviously would have its problems. But the point is that there are a lot of things going on and a lot of sort of, I guess, statewide trends that you see in a bunch of different states that could eventually be mobilized for something like this. So I don't think it's completely ridiculous to say that something that we could amend the Constitution in such a way. And in fact, it's kind of strange that this hasn't been used at all. And I'm wondering if it's not a sort of every state for itself mentality that prevents this from happening.
So you're arguing basically that, minimum wage aside, that's more of a demonstration, because it probably wouldn't really work to have a constitutional amendment for that.
Right.
That it shows that it is possible to mobilize interstate action on something. And of course, you could have the contrary example of saying, look at all the states that adopted the marriage bans, that was a big interstate movement, and not a good one in our opinion, but it was a thing. And you could potentially mobilize a bunch of states to have Congress propose a convention to suggest amendments on some topic that's of interest to the different states. So it maybe is a little bit more possible than it seems at first glance. Obviously, the state legislatures still wouldn't be coming up with the actual content of the amendments when they're doing this. I mean, maybe they would suggest some things that they're interested in, not in any specifics, but just, we'd like a convention on campaign finance reform or something like that. That doesn't mean that the Congress has to go along with that necessarily, because Congress is ultimately the one that's convening it. But you raised some interesting points there. Nate, what was your thought on this kind of idea?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of just got me thinking about how the entire process of how we reform the Constitution is, I mean, I can see why it's so challenging and difficult and the number of steps you have to go through. But at the same time, you have to wonder, is that necessarily the best way to go about organizing our democracy? Just because, I mean, it seems like over the past couple decades, we've sort of gotten really deep into the constitutional minutiae and like clarifying. The only thing we have to look at is the whole thing about the Second Amendment, like parsing the, you know, the commas and all these various languages, you know, well-regulated militia, trying to figure out and parse what exactly that is. And I'm not saying that we need to go back and clarify the Second Amendment, but it just sort of an example of a lot of these amendments were written a couple hundred years ago. They probably were not intended to apply to a government this large and complex and one that has this many responsibilities. And just sometimes you wonder if there might be a better way to go about updating the Constitution, adding rules for things that maybe were just not considered back in 1789, and instead of having to go through the process where you're both legislatures and then all the state legislatures, you know, 75% of states, especially when there are 50 of them, is pretty massive. And you've got to wonder, now, is there various rules in place that are inhibiting changes to the Constitution that maybe might be necessary, or just making it more difficult than they might need to be otherwise? You know, there could be a different way, and just, you know, considering that the Constitution started with a convention, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility or just a crazy idea to think about maybe having another one, or looking at a way to have some sort of convention to maybe tweak the Constitution a little bit, add some more modernizing language here and there. But just definitely something to worth thinking about.
Yeah. In other countries, it's always controversial if they say, oh, you have to get 2/3 of the parliament or 3/4 of the parliament to support an amendment, and then that's all it takes to get an amendment passed. That's a little too easy.
Yeah, we don't want it to be too easy to reform the Constitution, but at the same point, it might be possible for it to be too hard. We talk about the Constitution being a breathing document, flexible, but sometimes it might be better to, instead of having the Supreme Court devote countless hours to parsing and adding their own interpretations to the words of the Constitution, sometimes it might be better just to, if there's a fix that maybe people could agree on, and obviously that's always somewhat difficult, but if there's a relatively non-controversial fix or way to improve various language in the Constitution, you just got to wonder if maybe a convention might be a decent solution for that.
Yeah, and another potential way to look at this, and I think he raised this point, is that when you're dealing with Congress having to come up with the amendments, not only do they not want to make amendments that directly concern Congress, but they also don't, they have to be mobilized by some particular groundswell on a specific issue. Whereas you could say mobilize people on 5 different issues or something like that at one time through the states and say, look, let's put together this mass movement, get these legislatures, only 2/3 of them required. I mean, that's still a lot, but not 3/4, to request that Congress convene this convention. And then, depending on who you put in this convention, I don't know, he doesn't really get into the selection method, but maybe, you know, some former Supreme Court justices or various former federal judges could be involved in suggesting things that could be improved or clarified. The convention can potentially come up with 5-7 different proposed amendments, and maybe they don't all get passed, but they can be suggested as, oh, this would be a good improvement to the Constitution, and you don't have to get Congress to fight over the exact language and things like that. You also have the opportunity to lobby, not like lobbyists, but the public lobby the convention to say, yes, we do want an equal rights amendment, or we do want a this kind of amendment or that kind of amendment. And then again, they don't get to unilaterally put that into force. They just get to say, here's our proposed text for this. And then we send it back to the states. And again, you have to go through the whole process of getting the 3/4 of the state. So it's not easy by any means, but it's a potentially different avenue and a way to think outside the box on changing the Constitution. Now, Persephone, you wanted to kind of get into a little bit of a comparative government analysis of this.
Right. Now, Nate and you also alluded to the sort of idea of the age of the Constitution as a document, and how there's this idea that it should be a living document and that it should be perhaps a little more modern, I guess, in some ways. And I think what Belgium does, and it's certainly not the only country to do this, but I think it's really interesting, is that their procedure for modifying the Constitution involves a vote in the parliament that simply states, we think these parts of the Constitution need to be modified. And then after that, the government dissolves. And then the new government is basically formed to evaluate whether these parts of the Constitution are actually going to be modified and how they should be modified. And Belgium, I guess you could say, tends to go over the top with this because of their internal struggles, and a huge majority of the governments that have been formed since Belgium was founded have been for this reason. You know, the previous government was dissolved to modify the Constitution, and it's actually become kind of a trend that whenever elections are coming up, they'll just dissolve the parliament then and there, and then determine the constitutional issues that will be addressed by the next government. And I think that what this does that's interesting and that's relevant for this discussion is that it makes sure that every single government that comes into power is really thinking about the application of the Constitution.
So it's sort of their own way of creating a convention for specifically looking at these issues. Obviously, they also have to address other issues, but it, as you say, it forces them to consider these issues, whereas Congress is being elected to deal with 5.5 million different things and isn't necessarily being asked on a regular basis to think about certain specific reforms. Now, another issue that I wanted to bring up, and this one does not come up at all in the Lessig article, this is something that I thought of on my own while I was reading this, is that there is that other part of Article 5, which says that instead of having the state legislatures ratify this or any proposed amendments, that they can also have conventions in the 3/4 of the states if Congress specifies. A lot of the amendments, especially in the 20th century, have said by 3/4 of the legislatures, you know, that's how the amendment's going to be approved. There was one, the repeal of prohibition, which was coming not long after prohibition had been put into place in the first place. And the original prohibition amendment was adopted by the state legislatures. So Congress said, yeah, I think we better send it to a different group of people. Otherwise, why are we sending it back to the exact same people? So they said that has to be done by the conventions. So this is the one time that the state conventions process has been used. But it's up to the states to determine how their conventions are picked. There are actually a couple states, or I think maybe 2 or 3 states, that have standing laws in place that says this is what to do if Congress sends an amendment to the states and says, use your conventions, your special conventions, to vote on ratification. And some of them are, they say, okay, here's the election procedure. This is, the governor has to call special elections by this amount of days, blah, blah, blah. But again, this is only in like 2 or 3 states that this exists. So for the most part, it's up to the legislatures to decide how this works. So you could potentially have this national convention convened, and they could propose amendments, and they could put in the amendments, oh, and this has to be approved by the state conventions. Because actually, it can be ratified by the legislatures of the 3/4 of the several states or by conventions. And that's up to whoever's making the amendment proposal, whether it's Congress or the convention. So then the question is, what if you say, have this national convention, send it to state conventions? That way you've completely taken it out of Congress and then completely taken it out of the state legislature. Now, in some cases, the states have come up with kind of a problematic solution, which is to say the sitting legislature is the convention. That was one of the states that has their standing rule of what to do if this happens. They have that on the books. The governor says, okay, you're now the special convention to ratify this. And that has the advantage of saying, well, these people have already been elected. They are the representatives of the people. But they're not necessarily the representatives of the people on the specific issues being raised here. So my thought was, why not have state conventions assembled that specifically are supposed to vote on yes or no, I support this major change. I mean, that adds another layer of popular representation, but it's also not direct democracy. However, you could potentially also go in the direct democracy route and have the state legislature designate that the people of the state are the convention and just put it as a ballot question, because they don't get to tinker with it anyway, so it's just a yes or no thing. So as long as it's a yes or no thing, why not put it on the ballot of the states? I think there are a couple states that do have it set up for normally where the state legislature has to refer this to a ballot question before they can ratify it for a normal amendment. Persephone, what do you think about this idea of sort of a double convention system?
I think it's a really interesting idea, and I really enjoy the idea of the directness of your idea of having it just be a ballot question. And I think that that's something that a lot of people could get behind. I mean, the article points out how this process is kind of vilified, and I think that addressing the potential for a direct vote would help to make it more palatable.
Nate, what were your thoughts on this double convention system?
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I guess in some ways it's more direct than having it bounce around various multiple different types of legislatures, both on the state and federal level, possibly just forcing people into a room to discuss some of these issues. Maybe sometimes that's a better option, just having them hammer it out than give speeches from behind podiums and sort of posture against each other. I mean, you sometimes have to wonder if that is not particularly conducive to actually coming up with compromise and reaching some sort of common ground on these issues. So, I mean, I think it's a possibility. I think we just need to, in general, look towards having these types of conventions if there is a pressing need for something in the Constitution that needs to be changed.
Now, Nate, do you have any thoughts on the national side of if there were a national convention, who you'd like to see on it? Not specific people necessarily, but what type of people or how they should be selected?
I mean, I guess it depends on the issue, but former judges, nonprofit officials from various groups that might be concerned with this, or relevant academic experts, people that are seriously involved in the community that might be affected by this. I mean, obviously you need to have the legal chops to, you know, be a member of this type of constitutional governing document writing panel, but I don't think it's necessarily it all has to be former Supreme Court justices and no one else. I think it should be maybe even sitting judges or federal judges, maybe former Supreme Court justices if there are any, you know, up for the task, maybe some partisan members just to include the legislative process in it, obviously. And citizen representatives. I'm just throwing things out here right now just because I think there are a lot of different types of groups that should be represented in this process, whether it's a seat in the assembly or an advisory role or anything like that. But I think that in order to be successful, these need to have a broad base to them, ideological diversity, an ability to come to some sort of common ground and, you know, actually make a decision rather than just sort of, as I said, posturing about various ideological differences and then not really getting anything done. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of different candidates to be working on this kind of thing.
Nate, I'm interested. Do you think that there would be a way to get younger people involved? I mean, not necessarily young people, but people that this would have a more long-term impact?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about it and just trying to, in my head, imagine some sort of neo-constitutional convention. So instead of having people in wigs banging on the table in Philadelphia, maybe it's some sort of cross-representation of America in the sense that not only is it just the legal representatives and, you know, former justices and whatever, which probably wouldn't end up looking all that different from the old constitutional convention, but instead obviously, once again, this would depend on the issue being addressed, but just a wide group of people that would be affected by this. So, you know, you have representatives of maybe people from our generation, youth activists, various community activists, or just people our age that are involved in this issue and actually have some credibility, or, you know, they're working in the field. They're not just some random person off the street that's going to spout off opinions and bring down the quality of debate. And then, you know, need to make sure various, you know, ethnic groups are represented, and just it. I think the main goal of these conventions, if they were to happen, should be A, obviously fixing whatever constitutional issues need to be fixed, but also B, doing it in a fashion that actually shows how much this is a democratic process and all various points of view and ages and creeds, ethnic groups are all represented. So I think that's the most important thing.
Persephone, what kind of composition would you like to see on a convention like this?
I think that you need to have a mix. I guess I sort of envision something similar to Nate. I would want to have certainly people that are experts, but I think that you also need to have people that aren't necessarily experts in legal writing, but that have a good understanding of the issue at hand. And also you would need, of course, to make sure that all the groups affected by it would be represented.
Right. I think that point is so critical because, as Nate said, the first convention was kind of a bunch of fuddy-duddy white guys in the old days. And maybe they weren't quite as ye old as we like to think of them now. They might have, some of them weren't that old at the time.
In fact, I think they're relatively young, almost in their 30s, right?
I think maybe they were a little bit older by the convention. They were pretty young during the Declaration of Independence period.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Right. But they were certainly not representative by any stretch of the imagination to the whole population, and they definitely aren't representative to what the population looks like now. So again, we're not saying a whole constitutional change necessarily, but that some reforms maybe need to be proposed. Persephone raises the representation point. This is another way that it would be a great idea to have a convention rather than Congress, because Congress is not that representative of the whole demographic population. It still skews more white than the population. I believe it's definitely far more male than the population, way wealthier than the population as a whole. And so this is an opportunity where, for example, you could really have African-American representation, Latino representation, Asian-American representation, any significant ethnic groups that were completely left out and basically subjugated by the original Constitutional Convention. This would be an opportunity to get their input on what they believe needs to be changed to help include them more equitably in the American process. And that's something that could really be corrected by having a national convention be the source of the amendments as opposed to Congress. Certainly a lot of different areas that could be explored through a convention. Another idea that I thought of as a potential thing that a convention might want to do rather than Congress being tasked with, oh, this is a problem or this is a specific hole that needs to be patched. You can have a convention come up with things like a lot of other constitutions around the world have, and even some state constitutions where they sort of enshrine more principles. Obviously, we have a little bit of that going on in the Bill of Rights and a couple other places in the main Constitution, but we don't have anything like that such and such is a, you know, human right of every citizen or whatever. We don't have much of that. We certainly don't have anything like, you know, curbing global warming is the duty of every government or something like that, you know, and you know, who knows, that probably doesn't have any chance of passing anyway, but maybe there are some things that we could put in as like a principle amendment rather than a specific, you know, fix this thing amendment. And that way, Congress and the courts are guided in future on lawmaking and ruling on constitutionality of laws to say, look, this makes sense under this part, but it doesn't quite fit with this principle. All right, well, Arsenal for Democracy will be right back in just a moment.